Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. No one? He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. The word lynching came from his last name. His methods were very simple, but they were diabolical. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind. Because obviously, you have lost it.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Yes. I never, ever get tired of that applause, folks. I'm saying things, but I'm not sure if words are coming out of my mouth. I'm not sure. Am I pulling a Beyonce Knowles? I'm not sure. Is this live or Memorex? Folks, you know I wouldn't do that to you. You know I wouldn't do that to you. Again, welcome to the Midweek in Review edition of Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afternoon Radio. Boy, that beauteous Beyonce. Ooh, up to some shenanigans. Up to some shenanigans. That Caucasian hair hat, Afro-Saxon toupee. Now the voice may not be what we think it is. I'm just saying, folks, it is what it is. Folks, we're going to get into a quick groove. You know what we do. We're going to give you information as well as edutainment. By the way, the call-in number, don't be scared. The water is warm. Jump on in. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. You know what we always do? We give you the best of urban alternative music, folks. We give you the music that terrestrial radio absolutely refuses to play. They continue to disrespect you, but I won't. Okay, here we go. This is Beck. Cell phone's dead. Let's groove, folks.
Strange ways coming today. I put a dollar in my pocket and I threw it away. Been a long time since the federal dime made a jukebox sound like I'm reading my mind. Need to calm my worries, fix my thoughts, pull my hopes like a juggernaut walks. Now let down souls can't feel the rhythm. Sorry, entertainment's like aerobics victim. Hybrid people light a wooden matchstick. Toxic fumes in the burning plastic. Beats are broken, bones are spastic. Robots talking with a southern accent. Voodoo curses, Bible tongues. Voices coming from the mangled lungs. Some grit, some get down shit. Don't need a good reason to let anything rest.
Radio's cold, so does
all the damage felt like a laser manifesto make a manicure melt. Put my phone in like it's unlimited minutes. Going through all those just to see the results. Treadmills running underneath their feet. And you feel like you're going somewhere, but they're not. So let's put boots on the warehouse floor. Coming to you, look a rope on the chain store. Throwing equipment from a moving
van. Grab a microphone and keep to live, man. Now fix the beat, now brace the rest. Make a kick drum sound like an SOS. And a tow truck, cause it's after dark and the dance floor full, but everybody's never parked.
Alternative music. That is Cell Phones Dead. Cell Phones Dead. Okay, listen. We got to get into the show. It's the way it is. And there's a lot to discuss. I could not do this show, not with any kind of efficacy, without any kind of effectiveness, without my partner, my partner in white collar crime. That is the captain. Captain's kind of beam on up. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Vainglorious. Happy menstrual day. People say hump day, but happy menstrual day. Let's get the show started.
Well, let me tell you something, Captain. Under normal circumstances, I would not really get into this Beyonce Knowles thing. I just wouldn't do it. You wouldn't think it's that big of a deal. But the more I think about this, I've been sipping more Haterade, incidentally, not on purpose. But I'm hearing things. Someone on a different show, I forgot what I was listening to, but they pulled out her diction again. She used the term monumentous instead of monumental when she was speaking to our president. She said something about monumentous. Not a real word. Not a real word. But then, you know, she's going to do it. Sarah Palin does it as well. So it is what it is, but monumentous. And now we hear about this lip-syncing thing. Actually, before we even get into that, I want to pay respects to the stalwart supporter of our show, friend of the show, Sergio Mims. We spoke behind the scenes. And listen, he's a visitor to the show anyway. And he has a great blog, which I'm very much a great website that's connected with IndieWire, called Shadow and Act. And I thought that, well, you know, I listened to, and I say this begrudgingly, Captain, Warren Ballantyne out of Chicago. And he has I think he's syndicated, but I know he airs on Sirius XM. And he has Media Takeout as someone representing Media Takeout. It's not Fred Mahawanga, whatever his last name is, however you pronounce it. It's not Fred from Media Takeout, but there's some representative that he has from Media Takeout. Now, Warren Ballantyne positions himself, Captain, to be a very serious broadcaster. But then when you are connected to Media Takeout, for those who are in the know who've been listening to this program for years now, Media Takeout is a cyber ghetto. It's the cyber hood, as is BOSIP. So I can't take you seriously being connected with Media Takeout. On our end, I believe us to be connected to Sergio Mims and by virtue connected to Shadow and Act. So I proposed to him that we would have him on. We'll figure out the logistics and the parameters and everything, but have him on as our go-to film critic, our go-to entertainment critic. Because Shadow and Act, by far, isn't even in the same universe as Media Takeout. So I'd much rather, for our program, Well, who else will we be connected to? We have nowhere else to go, Captain. We can't be connected to lower tier foolishness. So, folks, just letting you know that at some point we're going to have Mr. Mims come through periodically, maybe once or twice a month, to tell us what's, to tell us the goings on at Shadow and Act, as well as just what's going on in general with the entertainment business and with movies that are coming out, movies that you may not even be aware of. So that's the premise of his site, and it is an excellent site. So without further ado, let's get into this deal with Beyonce Knowles, Captain. You know, let me play a quick clip. This is courtesy of Wall Street Journal News. We'll see how long we can deal with. It's a couple of minutes. They break it down. They're being somewhat conciliatory toward Ms. Knowles. I don't think I'm going to be. So let's go to Beyonce and the Wall Street Journal and see what they say. We'll be back in a few moments.
Remember this from yesterday's inauguration as well. That was Beyonce apparently not singing the national anthem at yesterday's inauguration, with a story about Wall Street Journal's John Jurgensen joining us now from New Jersey. And John, when I say not singing, what am I talking about exactly?
Well, we are hearing Beyonce's voice there, but apparently what we're hearing was a vocal recorded previously to the inauguration. Reports are saying, and this is confirmed by the U.S. Marine Corps band, that her vocals were not live. So she was either lip-syncing or singing along to a pre-recorded vocal track. Now, this isn't that uncommon. I mean, this happens pretty frequently. But what it brings into question are all these ideas about authenticity and what we expect from a live performance.
I mean, is it fair for us to expect a live performance to be? I mean, the voice, what we heard there is stunning. It's mind-blowing. It was also outdoors. Is it reasonable that one would expect on a freezing day anyone to be able to pump out vocal tones like that?
I mean, I think that's a very good question. I mean, the Star Spangled Banner is notoriously difficult to sing. It seems easy, but it's actually deceptively difficult. And as you point out, it was a brisk day, not completely below freezing, but it was a brisk day and a challenging environment to sing live to. And so I don't think anyone would falter for doing that. I think the thing that most people seem to be upset about is they seem as if they think that there's some sort of trick being played upon them. It's obvious that she did sing the Star Spangled Banner, as she's done many times before. But people seem to be taking up the idea of whether this was an honest performance.
Well, I mean, like you said, it's clearly her voice. Now, how do you think she's feeling after being outed by the Marine Corps band?
Well, I can't say. I wouldn't want to speak for her, of course, but I have a feeling that she will be just fine with this. You know, this is one of those things that turns into a controversy for a day or so. And for a star of her stature, I mean, there's countless videos you can find of her, you know, falling down on stage and making other gaffes publicly. You know, these are things that happen in the course of a performer's life, and she's going to bounce back, I'm sure, without much problem. And in fact, she's on deck to perform at the Super Bowl pretty soon, and she'll be doing the halftime performance. So I don't think that's going to stop her from coming out and doing the show, and I'm sure people will be watching very closely to what her lips are doing in that show.
And talking of the Super Bowl, Whitney Houston was also sort of lip-synced a rendition of the same song, right?
That's correct. And that, for many people, is sort of one of the, you know, the sort of milestone performances of the Star Spangled Banner. And people don't, you know, put an asterisk next to Whitney Houston's career for that reason, at least. It's one of those things that I think people underestimate the challenges, as you pointed out earlier, to performing these songs and performing them live in a place that isn't designed for a vocal performance. You know, there's echoes, there's chill, and there's the tricky nature of the song itself. So it's not easy. But I guess the question is whether would people rather have the foreknowledge of knowing that a lip sync was about to happen? And, you know, should we have been told previously that she was lip syncing? I mean, that's an open question. I think people would not necessarily want to know that either.
John, in fact, that open question is one that our director of social media has tweeted out, Liz Heron. She tweeted out, "Do you care?" And if you do or if you don't, definitely tweet her back and tell her that, because we want to know. We certainly do. Thank you very much. John Jurgensen of the Wall Street Journal, we appreciate your time today, and you can read more on that on WSJ.com.
All right, folks. Thanks to, well, I should give a hat tip to the Wall Street Journal News. And I want the captain to take lead on this before I dig in. It's not a mystery that I take issue with certain artists. I thought Beyonce had some talent. She's not really my cup of tea. I should say, as far as, you know, physically she's my cup of tea, but as far as her talent, you know, she's very, very, very much on the commercial end of things, very much a Pop-Tart. So, Captain, give me your thoughts on this thing, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
In my opinion, this is a controversy that they turned into a slight controversy, because right now we're in a time with the media that is looking for that great gotcha moment. They want their O.J. Simpson in the white Bronco moment. So everyone tries to go out and get that, you know. They just want that type of situation. And sometimes they create this. The reality of the situation is there are plenty of singers that lip sync for various reasons. Sometimes your vocal cords are just tied. They're just out of it. They're done. Your voice is just totally done. Sometimes it's the acoustics in the place that you're singing. And sometimes, believe it or not, you don't know the song. We've seen plenty of people, when it comes to this Star Spangled Banner, National Anthem, and various different types of songs, they don't know the words. So there's different reasons for lip syncing. Milli Vanilli was just a total fraud. That's a whole different situation. You know, we go back to the Milli Vanilli situation. That's a whole different type of thing we're dealing with. They didn't actually do the record at all. It's a whole different thing. So now, also, what you also have to remember, too, entertainers are exactly that. They pay big money to amuse you. Amuse you. Whether you're an athlete, which I call a hamster in a cage, or whether you're singing and dancing, you're paid a whole lot of money for amusement. People sit back and say, "Oh wow, it's nice, a whole lot of money." But how serious can you really be taken? Even if you're really great in your craft, you're great in amusement. That's really what you're doing. So, you know, I happen to like Beyonce. I happen to like Jay-Z. Jay-Z, from his business standpoint, I think Jay-Z is also very talented. And you might say, why am I mentioning Jay-Z? Because Jay-Z is married to Beyonce. And whatever happens to one, on the good end, you get some of that. On the other end, when it's bad, you catch some of the shrapnel, and vice versa. We talk about shrapnel all the time here on Afternoon Radio featuring Captain Kirk. So, you know, from that standpoint, I'm not going to beat up Miss Beyonce on this goal. But now if she's coming through the airport and she happens to be carrying a gun, or if she gets caught at the airport with a key of coke, I'm going to go in on Miss Beyonce. On this one, she gets a pass. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Okay. I'm not going to be that monumentous or magnanimous, I should say. You know, this is my under normal circumstances, Captain, I would agree with you. Definitely agree with you. The only problem I have with this situation is this. Beyonce has been groomed to be a world-class talent. She's being groomed during a period where they don't really groom talent anymore. For many years, the music industry was very, very well known, very adept at grooming their talent. I always go to Prince, one of my favorite artists. He was signed to Warner Brothers. Since at the age of 16, and before he was even allowed to release a record or anything, they groomed him to be this megastar. We know about Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder was little Stevie, 12 years old. Before he became this superstar, he was groomed through the process. I mean, that was a Motown thing. That was very much a music industry thing where they would actually groom you and allow you to hone your talent. Now, the way the music industry is now, it's pretty much like the stock market. Let's throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. So in this era, where they really, again, do not groom talent, Miss Knowles has been fortunate enough to be somewhat groomed. So if you're being put in the position to sing the Star Spangled Banner at such an historic and integral inauguration, this is not a regular inauguration. This is the second term president of African descent. In the wake of MLK Day, of Dr. King's birthday, it's just too big a thing. It's not a Super Bowl. It's not some sporting event. It's even more so, more important culturally, and if we're going to be tribal, more important culturally on the black tip, and she should have represented. She should have represented. Now, what's going to happen is, well, James Taylor, I don't even have to mention. He's a classic folk rock star. Class act. Kelly Clarkson is a class act by way of a game show captain. She's a game show contestant, and she came up, she came to the party and showed improved. Now, what's going to happen is these folks are going to continue with their careers, and they're going to be taken seriously. This incident, maybe it will blow over, but folks are looking at it with a twisted look now. The minutes after her performance, Piers Morgan tweeted out, "This is why she's a number one star." All this goodwill, all these compliments and accolades. When they thought she was the real deal, and, oh, of course, Beyonce, oh, she's this and that. She is a world-class talent. She stepped to the plate. So they thought. The day comes in, and the next day you find out, well, you know, she did some lip sync move. The Marine Corps band ratted her out. Now what's happening also, Captain, they're scrambling for some kind of explanation. The spokesperson from the Marine Corps band came out and said, we got word that she was going to do this on a lip sync move, a pre-recorded thing. And then now Beyonce's people are coming back. Well, it's not really clear. They don't know what she did. But see, when you look at the tape now I'm looking closer. Now I'm looking beyond the smoke and mirrors, Captain. And now it does look like she was lip syncing. And then she takes the earpiece out of her ear in kind of a histrionic move, you know, emotional. It looks cool. And now it's a bunch of bunk. So you know how I feel about music. We play the real deal here at Afro Nerd Radio. We play what other outlets refuse to play. And I have a problem with the current standard or lack thereof of the black music cultural tradition. There's been a diminution in the black cultural, black music standard for about 20, 25 years now. And it's just not a good look. So I hear what you're saying. If it wasn't this would have been nothing. But it's the size of this issue. It's the size of the function that disturbs me. And as time goes on, because everyone raps, Captain, we have so many project shower singers, no real deals anymore, that when it comes down to functions where you need the real deal, see, it's okay to lip sync and to fake the funk for certain nondescript functions. But when it comes down to real functions, heads of state, things like that, where people – are expected to show improve and to be real, the black standard is not up to standard. Black folks used to be the go-to people, Captain. They used to be, way back to Marian Anderson. They used to be the gold standard, the go-to people when it came down to the real deal. Now, there's no one to go to. Where are you going to go? Rihanna? Chris Brown? Waka Flocka? 2 Chainz? Shorty Low? You see what I'm saying? I'm just, hey, my opinion, our listening audience may think differently. I'm going to get off of this thing. But it troubled me. And also, I have a problem with her penchant for Caucasian hair hats and for Afro-Saxon toupees. Her and Mary J. Blige. The gold tint in this day and age, come on now. I have a problem with that, too. The whole thing is phony. The whole thing is phony. That's it. Captain, you know, any addendum? I mean, I hear what you're saying. I would agree. I just have a problem with this. It shouldn't have been this that she did that. The Super Bowl, yeah. The presidential inauguration, I'm not so sure about that.
I don't know if addendum is the right thing. Word I would come with what I'm going to say, but... You made some very strong points. You want singing right now, you go with Adele. That's what I would want.
Yeah.
That's me personally. I would have went with, you know, personally.
Or Kelly Clarkson, sir. Or Kelly Clarkson now. The black standard that we used to have, we can't depend on these folks anymore. These are what I call, you know how I have certain, how I have certain adjectives for certain types of black folks? Mystical
yes.
blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Lower tier, black. I mean, this goes for also other ethnicities as well. But we're talking specifically about black folks. There's also rough around the edge black folks.
Yeah,
rough
that's the
around
right. the that's
edge.
The right. That's the right word. That's the
that
right phrase, should I say.
It goes for Jay-Z, too. It's like, you know, there's some timing. I would say Jay-Z came looking professional. I mean, he's done that anyway. He's been trained. But because of his circumstances, even with money, these folks, they're rough around the edges. Someone should have pulled Beyonce to the side and said, hey, man, girl, you can't go out there like this. This is the president. This is your black president if you're going to roll like that. But the rough around the edges, the lack of an education, you know, Wendy Williams pulled a card, said that with her upcoming documentary that you need, that you practically need, you know, you have to have what is the word I'm thinking of? I forgot what she said exactly. But she can't speak. She has poor diction. You need closed captioning. You need closed captioning or subtitles. There you go. The ginseng's working, Captain. So you need closed captioning or subtitles to hear this woman speak. And she's also a young woman too, Captain. She's just 31. This is not 1935 Bessie Smith. You're in the modern era. You should be somewhat better educated. You were born in like 80, 81. How is it you don't know how to speak? I'm just saying. I'm going to lay off of her.
Well, going are the days of Donnie Simpson giving the nice interviews with the nice artists replying in a nice, proper manner. That's done. You don't see that. You just don't see it anymore. You remember those interviews? You remember some of those interviews? Everyone would come on there to speak perfectly, speak nice. Doesn't happen anymore.
Well, listen, back then you had – these folks were expected to take grooming lessons. And there's a story, I don't know if it's necessarily verifiable – I heard many years ago that they tried, emphasis on the word tried, they tried to get Mary J. Blige to take one of these grooming courses, and they failed miserably. Now, somehow she found religion, and even she herself has admitted she was dysfunctional. So someone pulled her to the side and tried to, and, you know, elicited some change in her, and she has changed for the better. And I like Mary J. For the most part. But she still has, you know, rough around the edges. Still, you know, but it's better. She's working on it. I'll give it that much. She's working on it. But when he's rough around the edges black folk come to the party, it's hit or miss. All right, Captain, listen. I don't want to stay on Beyonce forever. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I'm not. We want a clean show here. Anyway, we want a clean show here. Let's go to a quick groove, and then we'll be back. I want to talk about old Corny West, Cornell West. Corny West is at it again. All right. I mentioned one of my favorite musicians. I play him all the time. Well, you know what? I'll play him later. I'm going to play one of his proteges. This is People Pleaser. People Pleaser, new cut from the Semiconductor CD by Andy Allo. People Pleaser. Let's groove, folks. We'll be right back.
Take my time.
I had a tough time once again leaving that groove. I was actually on the mic, bobbing my head, doing all kinds of funk moves. You should have seen it. It was rough, baby. Again, that was People Pleaser from a protege of Prince, Andy Allo. Andy Allo, now you know how Mr. Nelson rolls. He gets these exotic women, and she's from Cameroon. She's Afro'd. I suspect the reason why he is recently Afro'd is because of her influence, perhaps. But, you know, when you think of that groove and that funk, you have Trombone Shorty, I believe, in that band, as well as the great Maceo Parker, who was also played with James Brown. So there's a lot of a legacy there. And you hear that deep funk. It's something. And you see the difference. It's a different type of music. It's real. Her hair is real. There's no Afro-Saxon toupee going on, Captain. Can we stop this? Stop pretending, sisters. I'm going to be tribal today. Stop pretending you're gluing Caucasian hair on your hair. We know what you do. You put your hair in a net. Your real Africoid hair is in a net, and your Caucasian toupee is on top of it. The world looks at this and sees confusion, and we refuse to be real. So when someone lip syncs, I'm going back there again, Captain, because it's all connected, tangentially or otherwise. We look foolish before the world. So I'm saying, people pleaser, the funk is here. 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. You know, Captain, sometimes I just black out on the mic. I just black out. It's all right. All right. Listen, I'm going to go into another blackout mode. Cornball West. Corny West is at it again. Dr. Cornel West, esteemed educator. I can't take anything away from his I don't agree with him politically, but as far as his stance or his standing in some circles, Captain, he has a voice. But I think he has a shtick. And I've said this before, and I'm sure that Sergio's listening. He's a performer of a sort as well. You know, he refuses to get a shape up. He's got the could be 90-degree heat. He has a scarf on. He's calling everyone brother. Everyone is his brother. Everyone is his brother. And to me, it comes off as if it's being passive-aggressive. There's no sincerity in this brother thing. He called Newt Gingrich in this clip about the play. Newt Gingrich is a brother also. Come on now. Come on. Let's go to this clip if I can find it. While I'm finding this clip, Captain, what are your thoughts on this Cornball West deal? He came out against Obama, which he's been doing since the last inauguration. Almost from the day of the inauguration in 2009, Tavis Smiley and Dr. Cornel West have really been on a campaign against President Barack Obama. And this time around, it was reported that Barack Obama, because of it being Inauguration Day and because of it being Dr. King's birthday as well, that he, in being sworn in, he was using Dr. King's Bible. So symbolically is a big deal. Dr. West didn't like that. Pure hateration. So that made the news. And I believe sometime last week there was some kind of poverty symposium where Newt Gingrich, a few educators, Tavis Smiley, I believe, was officiating this thing, as well as Dr. West. And it was just Hate Obama Day to me. And I'm a conservative. I still support our president. But you know what? Let's go to the clip, and then we'll unpack. This is Dr. Cornell. I was about to say Cornball. Dr. Cornel West regarding MLK's Bible. Hold on.
But no, when I got the news that my dear brother Barack Obama, President Obama, was going to put his precious hand on Martin Luther King Jr.'s Bible, I got upset. And I got upset because you don't play with Martin Luther King Jr. and you don't play with his people. And by his people, what I mean is people of good conscience, fundamentally committed to peace and truth and justice, and especially the black tradition that produced him. All the blood, sweat, and tears that went into producing a Martin Luther King Jr. generated a brother of such high decency and dignity that you don't use his prophetic fire as just a moment in a presidential pageantry without understanding the challenge that he presents to all of those in power, no matter what color they are. No matter what color they are. So the righteous indignation of a Martin Luther King Jr. becomes a moment in political calculation. And that makes my blood boil. Why? Because Martin Luther King Jr., he died owing to three crimes against humanity he was wrestling with. Jim Crow, traumatizing, terrorizing, stigmatizing black people, lynching and so forth, not just segregation, the way the press likes to talk about it. Second, carpet bombing in Vietnam, killing innocent people, especially innocent children. That's those war crimes Martin Luther King Jr. was willing to die for. And thirdly, was poverty of all colors. He said it's a crime against humanity for the richest nation in the history of the world to have so many of its precious children of all colors and living in poverty, and especially on the chocolate side of the nations, and on Indian reservations and brown barrios and yellow slices and black ghettos then. We call them hoods now, but ghettos then. So I said to myself, okay, there's nothing wrong with putting your hand on the Bible, even though the Bible's talking about justice and Jesus is talking about the least of these. But when you put it Martin's Bible, I said, this is personal for me, because this is a tradition that I come out of. This is a tradition that's connected to my grandmother's prayers and my grandfather's sermons and my mother's tears and my father's smile. And it's over against all of those in power who refuse to follow decent policies. So I say to myself, Brother Martin Luther King Jr., what would you say about the new Jim Crow? What would you say about the prison industrial complex? What would you say about the invisibility of so many of our prisoners, so many of our incarcerated, especially when 62% of them are there for soft drugs, but not one executive of a Wall Street bank gone to jail? Not one. Martin doesn't like that. Not one wiretapper. Not one torture under the Bush administration at all. Then what do you say about the drones being dropped on our precious brothers and sisters in Pakistan and Somalia and Yemen? Those are war crimes, just like war crimes in Vietnam. Martin Luther King Jr., what would you say? My voice hollers out, then don't tame it. With your hand on his Bible, allow his prophetic voice to be heard. Martin, what would you say about the poverty in America now, beginning with the children and then the elderly, then our working folk and all colors, not just here, around the world? Don't hide and conceal his challenge. Don't tame his prophetic fire. So as much as I'm glad that Barack Obama won, I think that Brother Mitt Romney would have been a catastrophe, and I understand my... Brother Newt told the truth of him about vampire capitalism, but that's true for the system as a whole, not just Mitt Romney in that regard. But when Barack Obama attempts to use that rich tradition, Frederick Douglass and Ida B. Wells Barnett, use the tradition of A. Philip Randolph, use the tradition of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, use the tradition of Tom Hayden and so many others struggling to produce that voice that pushed Martin in the direction that he did, I get upset. People say, oh, Brother West, there's Smiley and West hating Obama. No, no, we just loving the tradition that produced Martin Luther King Jr., and we're not going to allow it to be in any way sanitized, deodorized, and sterilized. We want the subversive power to be heard. That's what made me think when he said he's going to put his hand on that Bible. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying for him.
as is new. Both of us Christians, you Catholic, I'm Holy Ghost funky gut bucket Baptist. But we're praying for him. We're putting pressure on him.
All right. You know, once again, I want the captain, because I'm going to try to keep myself composed. I'm all about comportment, captain. You know about our favorite words, comportment or deportment. For wordsmiths, deportment and comportment are basically the same word. So for the sake of comportment, I'm going to allow. Well, not allow. It's just as much as the captain's show as my show, but let's have the captain have his say, and then I'll just jump in. Your thoughts.
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to launch a nebulous assault on Cornel West, which is not really an assault at all. All right? Follow me on this. You see, the president is the president regardless. What is Cornel West without a target? Cornel West needs a target. This day right here, this whole situation with the president dealing with MLK, Martin Luther King's Bible, putting his hand on there and everything else, gives him a situation for him to grandstand and point his rifle at his target. This is what Cornel West does. That's what it is. If he doesn't have a target, he's nothing. That's the reality of it. The president will always be the president. You see? Even Tavis Smiley will still be Tavis Smiley with his interviews. But Cornel West will go back into his little corner, you know, teach at a university here and there and everything else. But he needs his target. That's what he does. That's just what it is. And this is what I expect out of him. I don't expect him to do anything else. And from my standpoint, it's part show, which within a show there's a lot of grandstanding. Some of the information he delivers is absolutely correct. That's true. But this is what he does. This is his moment. This is his shining moment, his finest hour, Cornel West. That's all. Back over to you, Seraphim Nerd.
Yeah, you know, this is another case of...
Oh, you make me feel good. Can you make me feel good? Can you make me feel good? Can you make me feel good?
Or the American Dad version.
I just need to know.
The year was 2002. The place, Hollywood. My dream was to make it on the silver screen. My first audition was for the lead in a little movie called Monsters Ball. Make me feel good. Make me feel good. Yeah, the producers like.
Oh, boy.
This is what it is, folks. This is Afro Nerd Unchained. Didn't I say that? I'm going to have some deportment. I'm going to have some deportment, but there's going to be some Afro Nerd Unchained on this one. Listen, people. I'm not even going to discount some of the accuracy in what Dr. Cornel West was saying. He was talking about the system as it is. But to weigh in on Barack Obama as if he was not an inheritor of this, and as if the presidency itself lends itself to radicalism, it's utter buffoonery. The presidency does not lend itself to radicalism. Something that the great captain spoke about a few weeks ago, might have been a couple of months ago. He said it off the cuff, but I'll never forget it, because we vibe off of each other. I'm sure I influence him as does the captain toward me. You learn something from everyone that you encounter, that you deal with. So he said, I'm sure you remember this, obviously, that very few world leaders are good people. All right. Barack Obama is probably one of the best as far as having some kind of affable demeanor compared to the majority of world leaders. Do you think Vladimir Putin is a good guy? Really? Do you really think so? Chavez, do you think he's a good guy? I mean, it's all about who you ask. But when you're put in that position, and when it's about politics, and let's break down how we use the term politics. Now, of course, we use politics to being an extension of governance, nation states, the interaction between leaders and politicians. That's politics. But we also use politics as a colloquial term. When you missed your fair opportunity for advancement at your job or advancement in education, and someone pulls you to the side and say, well, so-and-so is a cousin to the professor, or so-and-so worked with this manager or this supervisor at the last company, or they're related somehow, nepotism, that kind of thing. They will pull you to the side, whisper in your ear, and say, well, that's politics. That's politics. Meaning that the head politician, the acronym POTUS, President of the United States, the head politician is really a double entendre term. Yes, he's a world leader, but he's a politician. But he's a politician. I have to actually reference Jay-Z on something. You know, when he says, I'm a businessman, I'm a businessman, it's the same thing. Being a politician means you are going to do things that involve compromise and not really being able to do everything directly. A lot of things being indirect, and there's a lot of compromise. The position is what it is. And we said early on that if Barack Obama were to rock the boat that this corporatized America has, or I should say helms, we know that they run the country, corporate America. If we were to break perhaps this pact that took place when he was pulled to the side and say, hey, you're in charge, but we're the ones actually running the show. If he were to break that pact, he would get the JFK pink slip. He would get the JFK pink slip. So all of this is bloviating on the part of Cornel West. And again, I don't want to take anything away from Cornel West's accomplishments. You know, he's a graduate of Harvard University. He has a PhD from Princeton. He teaches African American studies at Princeton. He also teaches Christian studies at the Union Theological Seminary in around our way in New York. So I can't take anything away from his academic stature. But I really don't dig the guy for his demeanor, how he comes off, this faux sincere, faux folksy kind of off-putting brother thing. I like straight black folks. I like straight people. You know, I don't even want to do the race thing. Afro-Nerd isn't about the race thing all the time. We are laser specific talking about race, the captain and I, and sometimes we don't talk about it at all because it doesn't lend itself to the conversation. Some people, some of us, some being tribal, some of us, they talk about race every day. Every fiber of their being is about race. And actually, that's one of Cornel West's things, where on occasion he will talk about Barack Obama in very disparaging terms as opposed to talking about the man's policies. You can critique, and I would implore you. Heck, we critique Barack Obama's some of his policies. We're not progressives. The captain is an independent. I'm a conservative. So, you know, but ad hominem attacks, hyperbole. This is Fox News, and to have Newt Gingrich on there? Come on now. Now Newt Gingrich is his brother after he called the president the food stamp president, but he's going to get a pass now? Come on, folks. That was the Haterade version of the JLA. The Haterade Justice League is what you saw right there. That's where you know it's not really sincere. When you have Newt Gingrich, Tavis Smiley, and Cornel West getting into a hateration marathon against his president after Newt Gingrich referred to him as the food stamp president, but he's getting a pass because everyone's in agreement that this president didn't do right by me. We know that Dr. West at some point lost favor with the president and wasn't able to gain access because Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, who's also on the same type of progressive bent, he was talking badly toward the president as well. But now he's got a commentating gig on MSNBC. He's got a check. He's got probably a nice, lovely six-figure check coming through. And now everything's all good. What happened to all that radicalism? You know, come on. Casting any thoughts before we move along? Get off of Corny West.
I have nothing more to add to that. I think you summed it up perfectly. Nothing more to add to it. It is what it is, people.
It is what it is.
You
know, make me feel good. Make me feel good. That is, you know,
it's a show. It's a show.
It is a show. He is a type of showman.
Yes.
It's edutainment. He makes you feel good. He goes into sermon speak because Dr. Michael Eric Dyson also has a religious degree, as it were. He can go into this religious cadence, and it makes black folks especially feel very good. That folksy, phony thing. And it used to get me too, Captain. Many years ago when I was a progressive, I would get caught up in that make me feel good thing too. But then I started looking at some things. I started seeing this black authenticity thing. When you saw a young man by the name of Barack Obama in 2007, 2008 come about into the public consciousness, and when we heard he was running, because he didn't come from the religious sector, he was treated reprehensibly. Now, I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. He's part of the educated class. Why does he have to go through the religious route? They didn't look at it that way. He was not well received. Now we love Barack Obama. But in the beginning, the religious order of the black community, some in that order, did not take a shining to Barack Obama. And that's where I saw some phoniness. And then you got into that black authenticity talk. But I said, wait a minute. He has a well-heeled black wife. He has authentic African roots. He studied under, what's the gentleman's name from Harvard? I can't recollect his name right now, but he was the author of Critical Race Theory. Critical Race Theory. So there's things going on with him that if you know the deal, the black authenticity thing, wouldn't have amounted to anything. I didn't see what they saw. But he didn't go through the same route that everyone else did, and therefore he was a question mark. And that was problematic for me. All right, Captain, you know, let's go to another quick musical break. And I want to talk about, speaking of Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, we do have our blue area moment, folks. When blue area, as you know, we do talk about the more positive goings-ons in the black and brown communities, things that are oftentimes overlooked. Now, we talk about the dysfunctionalism. At least we talk about it from a social commentary perspective. But, you know, one thing about the dysfunctionalism, it's unavoidable. So, to let you know, next Sunday we will have our Blue Area moment where we talk about, you know, all these inventions, all these accolades that many of our people are getting that go under the rug, that the media, that they are not adept in telling. We will tell it for you. We will shout it from the mountaintop. But this time around, we got to go back to the hood, unfortunately, for the lack of a better. And I like to use the term neighborhood, but for the sake of this story, five shots ring out in New Orleans on Dr. King's birthday on MLK Drive, Captain. Five people are shot in New Orleans on MLK Day on MLK Drive. I kid you not. A hot mess. A hot mess. Wow. All right. This is, I played the protege. Now I'm playing the master. This is Prince with a new cut called Screwdriver. We'll be back in a few moments, folks. Let's groove.
Every day when I wake up, gotta make up another reason to make it last. It's a mistake if we break up. We smash guitars and shatter glass. But till the day that we do, I'm your driver, you're my screw. Everywhere that we go now, there's a show now. People pay money for the rock and roll. And the big wow, before we bow, you can call me CC Crowd Control. But if you don't want to, it's cool. It's cool. I'm your driver. Empty car on a fast train. Driving rain.
game, the master, Prince, Screwdriver, new cut, just out. You can definitely check out the lyrics only video on YouTube, again, Screwdriver by Prince. Quickly, before we get into this deal, and I'm going to be very brief about it because I just don't want to just really stay on this dysfunctional moment, but it bears note because it just sounds crazy as hell, Captain. And this is a long-running joke, actually. A long-running joke from Chris Rock. Chris Rock talked about in his stand-up act about some of us cutting up. I think it was the N-word or quote-unquote niggers, quote-unquote, versus black people routine. I believe it was that one. It could have been another one about how, you know, some of us, to be tribal, are shooting each other. You know, there's a lot of violence going on, I think is actually what he says. There's a lot of violence going on a Martin Luther King Drive somewhere or Martin Luther King Road or some street named MLK somewhere in the United States. And to have this reported, it sounds crazy. Crazy. I mean, just think about it. Our preeminent leader, you don't even talk about African-American, but let's say the nation's preeminent religious leader, historical figure, perhaps one of our greatest Americans, bar none, and on his birthday, some of his folk, if you're going to be tribal, are shot, five are shot, on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in New Orleans. And the Griot, which is an NBC News website, the Griot, African-American based, even they have labeled this ridiculous when it's entitled Ridiculous on This Day. Five shot on Martin Luther King Drive. I'm going to say drive. There's an MLK Drive in Long Island, so I'm thinking of that. But it's an MLK Drive or Boulevard everywhere. But MLK Jr. Boulevard in New Orleans, this is where this took place. Wow. I think, fortunately, if you want to look at it that way, I don't think anyone was actually killed, amazingly. I'm going to read a little bit about this just to get further edification for our audience, and I'm going to move along. But this just ties into what the captain and myself talk about incessantly, that this violence has been going on. We could talk about what happened and what's happening with some of these implosions with legal gun owners, with what happened in Connecticut a few weeks ago, last month. But this has been going on. And it's just something about where it happened and when it happened. It makes it even more crazed. So anyway, from the Griot, five people standing outside a grocery store on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in New Orleans were wounded in a drive-by shooting on Monday, police said. None of the injuries were considered life-threatening, officials said. The incident took place at the intersection of LaSalle Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, police said. Let me read just one more thing here. Police Superintendent Ronald Serpis, who was among those who responded to the scene, told NBC station WDSU that six teenage boys or young men were outside a small grocery when a late model white sedan drove past with shots fired from inside the car. Then the car sped off. Captain, this could have happened at any time, USA. The lack of consciousness, the lack of care for human life. We've told stories of people being chased with an infant in tow. With an infant in tow, people will still shoot you. So I guess asking for a reprieve on Dr. King's birthday on his damn block is too much to ask. Thoughts, Captain? Because we'll move along. I'm not gonna beat this down. People know what the deal is. Those who listen to this program, but something has to be done. I don't know what. Well, I know what, but they don't want to hear from me.
Well, the lower tier has to get their guap. To the uninitiated, guap is a street term for money. That means what I'm saying is, it's business as usual. They will not take a day off for MLK Day. That's just how the lower tier operates. They're far and gone. That's why they are lower tier. They don't understand these things. Maybe if they did understand these things, they would not be able to be called lower tier by myself. That's it. That's all. Nothing more to say.
Yes, something has to be done, Cap. I'm just frustrated with it because it just doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop. I mean, come on now.
Niggas love to not know.
I'm just saying. It keeps on happening. It won't stop, Captain.
Niggas love to not know.
Love it. Love it. The call-in number, folks. We are broadcasting live. This is the Midweek in Review show. Again, after featuring Captain Kirk, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. You know, I was thinking about Cornball West before we move along to the next topic. And, you know, our listeners know that I consider myself to be an agnostic, where I'm not saying there isn't a God. I'm not saying that there is one. I'm definitely not a mystical black person. I'm not
mystical
down with you. Mystical blacks. And I know that when someone like Dr. West or Dr. Dyson goes into this cadence about God, or even Barack Obama, to critique him, because he has to do this. He has to appeal to mystical blacks and mysticism in general. Mystical whites, everyone who is mystical, even though they think he's a Muslim, disrespectfully so, even many still believe that nonsense. I don't know anyone who would spend 20 years at a radical black Christian church like Reverend White's, Jeremiah Wright, who would spend 20 years at a Christian black church but be secretly a Muslim? Who would do that? But the media, certain factions of the media, Fox, they'll put out that spiel. Anyway, we have Barack Obama, when he was officiating over the, the vigil for the 20 deaths from Sandy Hook in Connecticut, he had said that God took them home. God took these angels home. People say that. God called them home. God would not call his children home with bullet wounds in their bodies. He wouldn't do that. He would not do that. Sometimes we have to have critical thought. This is what AfroNerd is about, having critical thinking skills, trying to increase your critical thinking skills, also opening up that third eye, look between the lines, go with what makes sense. The poor children that were under rubble a few years back in Haiti, they're praying to God. But someone like Tebow, he prays to God and gets a touchdown and gets it. You know, the minstrel rapper who gets $1 million deal, who gets a Grammy, Captain, and says, I just want to thank God. And he gets answers. God answers his prayers after writing some nigger tune with the N-word in it, some quote-unquote nigger referenced entitled song. God answers his prayers. God answers Tebow's prayers, but he didn't answer the prayers of the children who were being riddled with bullets last month, and the child that has a brick on his forehead from the rubble in Haiti. He doesn't get an answer. This is why this mysticism has got to stop.
Mystical blacks.
I want somebody to answer that for me. Really.
The first question they have to ask themselves, who is this God? Then that opens up a whole different Pandora's box, doesn't it?
And he's always a he. He's always a he.
Yep.
He's a he. We know he's a he, and we know that if you need, I don't know, if you need, you know, some innocuous thing, he will answer I could not pray to God for some of the things that I want, Captain, because I would be ashamed considering those who are in far greater need. I see people of all ethnicities, but I'm staying on the mystical blacks this time, who pray for dumb stuff. And if they were to get it, it's all good. So he's going to ignore the bleeding in the street, the cancer, the diseases, the dysfunctionalism. But if you need, I don't know, you need a new car or something.
No,
he's
going to
answer that.
Jordans.
Yes, Jordans. I pray that I get these Jordans. And you, and if you get them, whew, I'm glad he hooked me up. But the man under rubble in Haiti, okay, or the tsunami in Asia, no one answered their prayers. This is why we have to cut this mysticism out. It sounds silly. It sounds silly. And we keep on doing it, Captain. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying for people not to have spirituality, not to be religious. I'm not even saying that. Do you, but have some critical thought processes with it and be respectful about it. Don't proselytize like Mr. I'm going to go into Mr. Harvey. I'm going to leave him alone. But he's good at that. Good at proselytizing. Enough with the mysticism. Enough with the proselytizing. Let's get to reality. Apply it to people's real needs and to reality. Stop the mysticism. I'm just saying. All right. Moving right along. There's still more topics, folks. We never do not have enough topics. There's always something to talk about. Actually, I want to talk about Africa, the continent of Africa. Now, the captain, you've been to Africa on a number of occasions. Isn't that correct?
Twice. Been to Nigeria twice. Yes. In the 90s. Great trip, by the way. I think everybody should go. See the motherland. Absolutely.
Not only should we go, we need to start to invest. Well, we should have always been investing. Now, some enlightened black folks undoubtedly have been doing this. But we've had such a, and this goes back to the Django film somewhat. You know, I think people are going to, and I said this before, people are going to reference Django in everything. I've done it. I'm seeing other people do it. But the triangular slave trade and all that came along with it really did a number on black folks. Really, really did a number on black folks. And part of that, and you know, one day we'll have to attack it more in depth. There's just not enough time for that. But on the surface, what I mean by that is that Africa has always been perceived, especially by black folks, as being this. Of course, it's known as the dark continent, and we would prefer not to have any connection to Africa. You know, we look down on the term African sometimes. Many folks would prefer to say that they're black. I'm not African American. I don't know anything about Africa. And actually, I can understand that to a certain degree, because if someone were to capture me and put me in the middle of Detroit or the middle of Cleveland, I would know what to do. I would be able to figure it out. I would know what to do. But you put me in the middle of, I don't know, Upper Volta somewhere? You put me in the middle of Mali? I might not know what to do. I would not know what to do. And that is the horror of slavery, is that I should know what to do. So I've been thinking about this recently, that there's been a lot more media attention. We know that China, that they're investing in Africa. And now we're hearing murmurs that Africa is on the rise economically, that Africa is being called possibly the new Asia. There are over, I think, 25, I think maybe 27 or 29 different African stock exchanges operating in Africa. We need to know more about this. I mean, that's just one thing I'm just mentioning as far as after the literal investing in Africa. But I was looking at this Daily Beast article, and it's entitled "Africa is Rising Inside the Continent's Great Economic Leap." So I'm looking at this thing, and all I can think of is when you hear the term African-American, and some will give you a great deal of reasoning as to why they're not comfortable with that term. Even if we do not have full knowledge of our underpinnings in Africa. The DNA, the root is from there. And I also prefer, well, I'm not into this, you know, one or the other. I'm black, I'm African-American, I'm a person of color, I'm American. There are a number of different ways to describe yours truly. But I'm not hesitant to say that I'm of African descent or that I'm African. An Italian person, an Italian-American, I should say specifically, will say, oh, I'm Italian, without ever having gone to Italy or maybe visiting sparsely. But with African-Americans, some of us are not keen on saying we're African-American. Or any hint of being African is a no-no with some of us. Ask Beyonce Knowles with that Caucasian hair hat. Actually, I think she does call herself African-American. She refers to herself as that. But you can't say that and then have that thing on top of your head. I'm just saying. Anyway, we have to become more comfortable with being Africans. Because we're the only ones that seem to not want to embrace the term. And out of respect, Captain, out of respect for the Africans, you know, our lineage, the Africans that died and that worked in this country. So there was African people that came here. Now, we know about all the miscegenation, all the rape, and not just the rape, but also also the consensual liaisons with other ethnicities during the slave time, during the antebellum South. We know all about that. But I think when you use the term African American, I use it because I have to respect those people. I have to respect those Africans that made that sacrifice. So when you say, I don't know, I'm not African, I'm not African American, what about those people that died for you to be here? Somewhere down the line, that needs to be respected. So I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the fact that there has been, according to this article, there was a recent New York Stock Exchange investor conference referencing Africa again as the new Asia and the home of the next Google. Now, there's an African tech industry. There's a whole bunch of things going on. They're now talking about mobile banking innovations in Africa, even as we speak, Captain. It's going down. Now, it would be embarrassing, folks, equally as embarrassing to be a black person shot on MLK Day on MLK Drive. Or MLK Boulevard, or MLK Road. That's embarrassing, but it's also embarrassing that if Africa is on the come up and our black asses are not invested in it, we are in deeper trouble than we will ever know. So I'm already doing the research, even as we speak, ladies and gentlemen. I would implore you to do the same. I will give you more information as time goes on. Trust me on this, on how to do it, what to do it, what to do, and who to speak to as far as investing, somehow investing. Because you do not want to be African or African-American or black or whichever euphemism you want to use, and Africa is on the come up, because I think we have bought into this chicanery of Africa being a backward nation. We bought into that. But here on the show, Captain, the Blue Area segments, we spoke about this young man that was rummaging through garbage and able to put together electronic equipment from garbage. And MIT called him. A young man, like 13 years old, he's rummaging through garbage, Captain, and is able to put together radio and radio equipment with garbage. There were young ladies, young black women from Africa, certainly of African descent, that were able to create a urine-powered generator. This is from a so-called backward continent. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. So you've been to Africa. You've spoken about this on many occasions behind the scenes. When we're in the gym, you talk about Africa quite a bit. We got a few minutes. Any thoughts on African-Americans God forbid that we invest in Africa.
Well, what's really the whole situation in Africa is this, what everyone has to understand. Africa is a hub of natural resources. Exponential, exponential. So what China is doing, China has many people. We know about the population of China. They need natural resources. So let's say another country would come to China and say, okay, I'll give you a dollar for this. China comes along and says, we'll give you $4 for this. That makes Africa's economy begin to grow, even though it might be worth $25 for the same thing. But instead, it's a better deal. China's still not playing the right rate. You know, everyone rates Africa, but this is what's making Africa go at this given time. And I actually, at this given point, these deals will get better and better. This is anything go. When you start out with people, when you start out doing business deals, you get one deal, then the next deal is better, and it gets better and better as you go along, as you progress further and further along. So this is right now, in my opinion, from what I've seen. I haven't seen everything. I don't have all the details. But right now, this looks like a very good union of the two. And Africa will continue to grow, in my opinion, in years to come, based on their relationship with China. And this is why insiders also said that the United States has a problem with China because of their interaction with them in Africa. And they want to unsettle. They want to mess with China with that interaction. Just a little food for thought. So we'll see what happens down the line. But it looks good for Africa at this given time, Sir Afro-Nerd. It looks very good.
You know something? I've always been uncomfortable with this whole thing about others telling Africans, African-Americans, to be leery of Africa, to always speak in disparaging tones about the continent, and at the same time, they're going over there. If Africa's so bad, but they can't stop going over there.
Yeah, there you go.
Black people will not. Black folks will not go to Africa, but white people will. In the modern era. In the modern era. They can't stop going over there. But I'm not going over there. Well, I'm not going over there with those Africans. I've heard black people speak a certain way about Africans. So that has to stop. All right, folks.
Great.
It's been real. I forgot about Lupe Fiasco being pulled off the stage during the inaugural ball for his anti. I forgot to get out. You know, I'll talk about it on Sunday, folks. We have the double shift on Sunday, folks. The comic shop at 6 p.m., Afternoon Radio at 7 p.m. We'll do it again. Let's go out on one of my favorite tunes. This is Omar and Angie Stone. Stylin'. It's been real. Sunday. Let's groove.
I can see that you're cool, got something I want to be down, but anything you're sending down, you give me palpitation, make your move, stop to prove, show me what you got. I can see you're ready when you're on the spot, like now. You give me palpitation, no. Around me, baby, wow.
You give me palpitations. Boom, boom, we can be anything that our hearts desire. Move it with the universe, we can inspire love.